Welcome to Step Into the Pivot. We're your hosts. I'm Teresa Conti.
And I'm Ivana Polonio. We talk with people just like you. We have honest conversations about current issues that women and men face and how we pivot to address them in our lives.
This podcast is your companion as you step into a workout or take some time for yourself. Welcome to this week's episode of Step Into the Pivot. Today we have with us JR, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. He told me that if I didn't live in Taiwan for at least 5 years, I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it correctly anyway. So JR, would you pronounce your full name for us?
Sure. Yeah. So I go by JR Wu.
All right. See, you got it, but not how it's spelled. So
no, it's not.
Sure. Yeah. Say it for us one more time.
So it is J.R. Guo.
That is. It's just, I love this opportunity to learn from you, right? So we could have, you know, tried to say it. We could have, you gave us permission to say it any which way we wanted. But I just love that we have this chance to sit with you and hear you talk about it and talk about your name and mention it and articulate it like authentically. And I love that about you. You're like a walking example of authenticity and vulnerability. And I could now, you know, go into your bio and read it out. But you know what? Our listeners can do that. They can check out our show notes. They can check out your website, coffeewithjr.com. What I really want to say now, and by way of introduction, is that you, for me, are an actual motivational speaker. You're an actual inspirational speaker, because how we met is you were giving a talk. I was in the audience and you said three things together in basically one sentence. You connected diversity, equity, and inclusion topics with mental health advocacy. And then you talked about immigration. And see, I get like a little choked up even just remembering that pivotal moment in my life where you acknowledged, and at this point, we don't know each other at all, but you acknowledged what felt specifically, you know, my own suffering and trauma and the difficulties around being an immigrant. And it was nothing specific, but it was about the energy of like the stress and the difficulty of like the day-to-day experience of being an immigrant and how you brought all that together and found some way to actually uplift me in the audience. And not just me, obviously everybody in the room felt the same thing. I felt, okay, this is advocacy in action. This is a teacher who is, you know, practicing what he preaches, showing with his energy and his vibe, you know, what it's like to be overcoming suffering, harnessing adversity. And we're so excited to have you on the podcast today. You have so many stories, so many pivots. Tell us, pick one. I know we could do a whole series with you, but one big life event, aka pivot, that has shaped you the most.
So before I start again, thank you so, Evie, thank you so much for that introduction and how we met. And I really, again, likewise, I really appreciate your you being yourself, right? That you're genuine, you know, that is really rare to see. And of course here, like, thank you, Teresa, even though we just met today. So thank you so much for hosting me today. So I really appreciate that.
We're so excited to hear from you, and you're not getting away with that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So tell us
about your pivot.
So my pivot is that, so it dated back to year 2000. And it was the time, the biggest pivot is also the time, the period of my life that I literally hit the rock bottom. So that was a time between when I left the monastery and when I tried to figure out what I want to do, my next step. So I was literally in this limbo, not knowing what to do. And I still remember I was I was staying, crashing at this person's house because I literally had nowhere to stay. I literally only had like probably $200-$300 in my pocket. And I literally only had a suitcase of things. And in a way, even though I wasn't quote unquote homeless, but I didn't have a place to go. I couldn't really go back to Taiwan. I did not want to go back to where I just left. And I did not know where I could go. So I was sitting in this living room by myself. And then I just had a conversation with my mother. So again, this was back in 2000. We did not have smartphone back there. We couldn't just call. You know, nowadays you can use WhatsApp, use like free services, and you can literally face chat someone on the other side of the globe, right? Year 2000, no. You have to make these international phone calls, collect calls. And they are pretty expensive. So I still remember back in the days, I had to buy these phone cards. You had to dial those cards number in.
Oh, yeah. Scratch the number and then the long number.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, and you have to count the minutes. Normally they give you 300 minutes or 500 minutes. So I was sitting in that living room. I think that's the first time I really recognized I was going through this severe, severe depression. I was on the phone with my mother. And I, while talking to her, I heard a sense of helplessness, also hopelessness from her aunt. She wanted to support me. She wanted to give me the best, but she just doesn't know what to do. And me, and then by the way, she was in Taiwan. I was talking to her in Taiwan, and I was in Los Angeles. And then after hanging up the phone, that is the moment, I think that was the rock bottom in my life. I was, in terms of emotionally, physically, psychologically, I just hit that rock bottom. I didn't know what to do in my life. I was so lost. I feel literally a true sense of feeling hopeless and helpless. And I sat there and I literally stopped bawling, stopped crying. And I think I sat there and cried for like next 30 minutes to an hour. And it was at that moment, talking about pivot, that I decided that, okay, I needed to do something different. I needed to do something for myself. Because again, growing up in a very predominantly Chinese, Taiwanese, traditional Asian culture, there's this very communal thing, right? I have to do things for my parents. I have to do things for my community. And it was the first time in my life that I realized that, no, I need to do something for my life. I can't just sit here and wait for help to come. So that is probably the moment that has shaped my life the most.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, you know, like what I got from what you said is that you were a world apart, right? You really were Taiwan to Los Angeles, right? That's a big world apart. And, you know, having that kind of revelation, kind of being there in Los Angeles on your own, right? And thinking that like I can feel that in you. So talk about how that event, you know, moved you forward into your kind of personal mental health journey, right?
So
how you recognize that in yourself that you needed to do that. So talk a little about that.
So I think that event, what really also happened is that it's the first time I experienced this, what I call extreme loneliness. I was literally by myself. All my friends from my childhood, they were all scattered over across the United States and the world. My mom, my parents was in Taiwan, right? The person I was staying, don't get me, she was super nice and sweet, but she just didn't really get it. So it was at that moment that I feel this extreme loneliness. extreme isolation. And going back to what I was saying, that whole depression, I was super sad. I barely could wake up every morning, get out of my bed. And the worst of all is that I had no one to share this experience with. But again, due to mental stigma, due to cultural stigma, I was told to man up, or I was told to get over it. So how it related to my personal mental health journey, I think at that moment, at that rock bottom, going back to this pivot, is when I realized that this is not right. Right? Why couldn't I find support? Why there's no support for men like me that are going through depression, are going through mental health challenge like this? Why couldn't I even talk to my people, right? My people that I grew up with. I did. And they all told me to pray more, to work harder, right? To just get over it. So I think that event, that hit rock bottom, propelled me to start having this curiosity of what if? What if I could have, what if there's someone out there that I could have talked to? What if I could become the person people can come to me and talk to about their challenges, right? So even though that what if, that thought was so, that voice was so so little in my head, but I think that literally started, plant the seed of my personal mental health journey.
It sounds like when you're talking about that, you know, shifting, inner shifting around taking personal responsibility and then inviting this state of curiosity. Would you say that that was an aha moment, a revelation? You know, it's like it's a pivot within a pivot. You're now pivoting on the inside, you know, after you've been, you know, hit by life and numerous times in your case, right? But there it is, the life-changing revelation. Is that a good way to talk about it?
Yes. So I, looking back at that moment, that as an aha moment, right? Because I was in so much pain, literally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. I was in so much pain. But I think that being said, it was more like something triggered in my head. Like something started shifting. It's almost like that seed that was planted in my head, I don't know by whom or when, that seed started sprouting a little bit, right? So it wasn't like, wow, okay, yeah, I'm going to talk and fight for mental health stigma. No, it was more like, okay, why is this not happening? Why am I so lonely? Why am I hurting so much and there's no support? And what if it was different?
How did you cultivate that? So what did you do then, internal level, external level, to cultivate the seed? And were there any decisions you had to make? And maybe if you remember, tough decision that you had to make in order to cultivate the seed and let it keep growing?
Yes, of course. When I quote unquote started cultivating the seed, I did it the wrong way, the unhealthy way, right? So I default back to this urgency that I need to do something for myself. I default back to this agency that this belief, this false belief, or even toxic belief that I need to man up. And what this means is that I can no longer show my emotions. I can no longer show my vulnerabilities. I can no longer show my weaknesses, even though deep inside I wanted to. And then looking back again, I was in a survival mode, literally. And like any other survivors, we did not have the luxury of tapping into our emotions, right? I wish that was true. Of course, that was a belief that I had, the false belief. So even though the seed was there, it sprout a little bit. And unfortunately, I did not water it. I did not take care of it. Instead, I went the totally opposite direction. And of course, what that means is that my mental health condition got worse, right? I finally did go to college. And in college, at university, it was hard. It was extremely, extremely hard, right? Because I was one of those people that I study hard, I work hard, and I party hard. So externally, people thought that I was having a great time in my life. But internally, that depression, that severe depressive disorder was still there, lingering, hurting me. And I still remember there were times, at least there were a couple of times that I had the courage to try to open up a little bit to share with my friends. But I was hit with the same mental health stigma that I need to man up. I was too emotional for a man, right? So that those examples, those incidences hurt a lot. But I think talking about negative reinforcement, like two wrongs finally made it right. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that I think those horrible incidences triggered something a little bit inside me. Well, kind of like reminded me that what if, right? Reminded me that why am I still suffering and why there's no support out there? What if? So I think indirectly or negatively, that's how that it started growing a little bit.
No, I absolutely love that message. And I think you are right on there. I think a lot of people are silently struggling, right? And recognizing it is what you have to do. So just take a minute and let's say, you know, I'm silently struggling. Or struggling silently. Sorry, I reversed that. But, you know, as a mental health advocate that you are, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who is struggling, right? I know you do lots of talks and things like that. So give us a little bit of advice there.
So I think the first step is to recognize that this sucks. to recognize that this pain is real, right? To be honest about it. And the moment that is what I recommend. The moment I recognize this pain is real, right? It's not something that I could drink away. It's not something that even if I got straight A, this pain's still there. Even if I got a good job, get another scholarship, this pain's still there. So it's just the ability, the first step is recognize to accept that this pain is here. And yes, it sucks. But just having this awareness, this acceptance to one's own challenge, one's own pain, I think our brain, human's brain, can start thinking about, okay, now I have this challenge. What can I do next? The reason that people don't do much about it, because majority of people, including myself when I was younger, this denial, this rejection, I'm denying. But the moment you let that go, I truly believe that our brain, our body will start trying to figure out a solution or solutions.
Yeah. The numbing of the pain, that's a big way in which we continue to hurt ourselves. And I know that you've also had good guides on this mental health journey. So I know that one of the ways in which you did then, you know, move from that state of asking what if was to turn to somebody else for support. And yes, instead of resisting your vulnerability and the emotions, to drop in deeper with them and open up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And today you are an advocate for others, and you offer support to others. And again, there's so many different ways folks can, you know, learn about you and learn from you. Coffeewithjr.com is a great resource. But we're not totally finished yet. We have one more question for you. And as I was saying in the beginning, oh my gosh, so many different things we could talk about. Because, you know, when we hear on the podcast now, you said the word monastery. I want to know more about that. What was, what, wait. Did we just talk to a former monk? I want to know more about that. But, you know, we'll leave that for another episode of Step Into the Pivot. Teresa, do you want to ask JR our
I'd love to ask that question. So this event, this big event, how was this pivot a step forward?
So I think what it really pivoted for me, step forward, and I want to make sure that I want to let the audience know that it's not just one step, one big leap. What really happened is all these little steps. And as you know, all these steps could be up and down, right or left, you name it. So moving forward for me is ultimately about this goal. I know this is going to sound so cliche, but ultimately my goal is how to find that happiness, how to find that joy. And it's something that I have to admit that I might not be able to be fully happy, right, due to my trauma and my past experience. But again, it's not about really becoming that happy. It's becoming happier, more joyful in my life.
Well, and I also really love your little steps. I think that's so important. It's not always about taking that big leap and that big step and that big thing. I think your analogy there was right on, right? Every little as Eva and I, you know, talk about this a lot about people's pivots. I think that is a great lesson there. So we are out of time. JR, I enjoyed this so much. And I think Eva is entirely right that we may want to have you back to hear some of your other great stories. So for me, I want to remind everybody, if you have a pivot, step into it.
Awesome. And if you'd like to share with us about your pivot, also, you know, step into sharing and let us know. And thank you, JR, so much for your shares. What a wonderful job of role modeling, you know, for others. And, you know, you mentioned our male allies. Sometimes, you know, there are these messages out there that suggest that we can't be doing this, that there's something wrong with, you know, being with our feelings. And especially, you know, folks listening who are, you know, male, I know they've heard that conditioning. So thank you for pivoting us away from that and helping us out here on the show.
Thank you so much for this opportunity for me. Allow me to share my story. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Step Into the Pivot. We hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation. Remember, life is a series of pivots, and it's in those moments of change that we truly grow.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to stay connected, make sure to check out our websites. You'll find additional resources, behind-the-scenes content, and more details about our incredible guests. We love hearing from listeners, so reach out with your thoughts, questions, or your own pivot stories.
To keep the conversation going, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on LinkedIn and Instagram, where we share updates, quotes, and engage with our amazing community.
If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback makes a difference, and it helps us bring you meaningful conversations. We're signing off, reminding you that every pivot is a step forward. Take care, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Step Into the Pivot.